welcome to the Lockdown Podcast Show with me, Zoe Giles, and my producer,
Vicky Rimmer.
On the Lockdown Podcast Show this week, we have the amazing Izzy Clifton, who you might know her as Hetty Feather. The final episodes of Hetty Feather are on iPlayer at the moment. Best-selling author Tom Palmer, the man behind the Football Academy series of books, Foul Play and Armistice Runner. We are also joined today by the skinny jean gardener, Lee Connolly, best known as the Blue Peter Gardener. He's going to help us make our own allotment at home and help George with his slug problems. Connor is giving us some more tips on gaming. And if you're planning to get the paddling pool out this week, Flo has a fantastic ice cream recipe that will keep you cool while you enjoy the pool. This week's show is all about family trees and family history. We have got a great family tree template in the podcast details if you want to have a go at researching it. Next on the show, we have Selena on line 3. Selena is a genealogist. That's the name for someone who researches family trees. Hello, Selena.
Hello, Zoe.
We are looking at family trees on today's show. Where do you suggest people start?
Well, I think the best place to start is with yourself. So you think about what your name, where you were born, when you were born, and write that down, and who your parents are, and then gradually go back from there.
Okay.
That's the best place to start, with yourself.
Okay. What questions should you ask your parents and grandparents?
Find out the key facts, so their name and date of birth, where they were born, and who their parents were. So get sort of as much of that information as you can and write that down.
Okay.
But then also, to bring it to life a little bit, I'd ask them, you know, things about what life was like when they were children.
What free resources are there online?
One of the best ones is called familysearch.org. And that has lots of stuff on there, all your births, marriages, deaths, census information, so all about the population at certain points in time. And it's all free. You can do an awful lot online. Google, ask Google how to do it, and it will come up with all sorts of things.
What have you found out about your family?
I've found lots of good things out. I found who served in World War One and managed to get some of their service records so I could find out what they would. The one I like the most is Anne Boleyn as a cousin. And
a cousin.
So therefore we're related to Queen Elizabeth I. Yeah.
So have you been down to Hever to look at Anne Boleyn's bits and pieces in her Book of Hours?
Yes, I'd like to go there again once we can. It is a bit of a strange feeling to know that you're walking around a place where your ancestors lived and spent their lives, so you kind of almost looking a little bit through what they, you know, seeing what they would have seen.
Okay.
It's very interesting.
Thank you, Selena.
You're welcome.
On today's show, a man with 100,000 listeners to his podcast. Please welcome the skinny jean gardener, it's Lee Connolly. Hello, Lee.
Hey, Zoe, you alright?
Lee, you are best known for your work as the Blue Peter Gardener, and you've won awards for your podcast.
Yeah.
We know that you spend a lot of time getting kids to go out in the garden. Why is it more important than ever to use your garden space?
Cool, that is a really good question, Zoe. Well, I always think that it's always like an extra room that no one ever thinks about. And I think when you've got kids, like, to use that outdoor space is so important because, you know, one, it's like I say, another room to get out there and do something with. But also, like, who wants to be cooped up all the time inside? Like, it's great to be able to use it and get outside together. And and like create like memories together.
Yeah, you started an allotment on Blue Peter. What do you need to start an allotment at home?
Oh, that is a good question. Right, to start an allotment at home, you get a washing up bowl, you put a few drainage holes in the bottom of it, fill it with soil, and then you can plant up. And that is like the smallest, easiest allotment that anyone can get their hands on.
Okay. What plants are easy and quick to grow from seed?
Easy and quick. Well, things like radish and cress are really quick and easy. I think growing quick stuff is good, but I think growing stuff that you're actually going to eat and care about is more important.
Okay.
Well, you like pickled onions, don't you? Can you grow pickled onions, Lee?
You can grow onions. That's a good start. You like pickled onions? Oh.
How many pickled onions can you eat in one go?
I've eaten about 8 big ones before.
Not this morning?
No. When we went to a friend's.
Wow, you must really like pickled onions. Oh, I'm not sure on them.
What colour Blue Peter badge have you got?
I've got a green Blue Peter badge, but I really, really want the white and blue one.
Our garden correspondent, George, in his greenhouse, had a problem with his slugs last week. He was bringing them out of his greenhouse and then he was squashing them with his feet.
He was squashing them with his feet? That's horrible. Who would do that? Oh, no, George. No, that's not cool.
Do you have any better advice for him?
Okay. I'm always asked about slugs. Slugs, to get rid of slugs, one way you can do is just get like a brick or a tile and pop it up against the fence at a bit of an angle. And it creates like a really nice damp area for them all to like come together and have like a little meet up in the evenings.
Oh, okay.
And then what you do is, you basically, in the evenings, you go down there, see where the slugs are, and you pick them up, and then you throw them over into your neighbour's garden. don't really do it. But you can move, like, if you've got a vegetable bed, and you're growing vegetables, and they always gather around there, then you can, like, gather them up, and then move them somewhere else in the garden.
Okay. How are you entertaining your daughter at home in lockdown?
We've been out in the garden so much, and recently, I tell you what, like, it's so good that you're doing this podcast, because recently, Olive's only coming up to 5, but even she's been inspired by your podcast to, like, start speaking. So on my podcast now, she's got, like, a little bit where she speaks.
Oh, cool. What are you looking forward to doing when this is over?
Oh, I'm looking forward to see my family, see some of my friends a lot more. Go and visit some gardens as well. Like this year, I was going to go and see so many gardens. I love visiting a good old garden to get some ideas. So yeah, just getting out there and meeting people again, and you know, being able to hug my mum.
Will you take our quiz?
Yes, definitely.
There's a leaderboard. Lottie's at the top with 2 points. Phil Harrison from BBC Radio Kent has 1 point, so there's no pressure. There are 4 categories to choose from: Marvel, Harry Potter, Disney, and Capital Cities.
Right, let's go Disney.
In the movie Toy Story, Buzz Lightyear was owned by...
The boy that owned him?
Yeah.
Hang on, wait. Is there a time limit on how quick I've got to think about it?
Yes.
What was his name? Oh, Ted. His name weren't Ted.
It was Andy.
Andy, that's it. It's on the bottom of his shoe. Ah. Oh.
Born to King Stephen and Queen Leah, what is Sleeping Beauty's name?
Aurora?
Yes.
Yes, mate, yes.
In the Disney movie Peter Pan, what colour dress does Tinkerbell wear?
Oh, crikey. Green.
Yes. Yay! Which Disney movie features the song I Won't Say I'm In Love?
I Won't Say I'm In Love. Moana?
No, it's Hercules. From the 1973 Disney movie Robin Hood, what kind of animal was the Sheriff of Nottingham?
Was he a fox?
No, he was a bear. Oh no, he was a fox. He was a fox.
Come on, Zoe. I knew it was a fox.
You have 3 points and you're on the top of the leaderboard.
Yes.
Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me. I mean, now I'm on top of the leaderboard. There's no beating this week now, is there? That's the best news I've had all week.
Where can listeners see you and hear you at the moment?
If you Google Skinny Jean Gardner, you'll find him.
Thanks for joining us. Bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Stay tuned for later, where we have the actor who plays Hetty Feather, Izzy Clifton. Now it's time for our greenhouse guest, George, who's cleaning out his bee bath. How are you doing it, George?
So I'm taking out the stones on the bee bath, and now I'm going to tip out the water. I'm just going to hold it upright and get my hose to the right setting and wash it out. Oops, that's the wrong setting. Stand back!
What's the next job, George?
So I'm washing out the bird bath.
So what's in the bird bath, George?
Well, there's all sorts of muck and poo.
Lovely, George. This week we're doing family trees. Do you have any important family members in your family tree?
I'm related to William Lobb and was a famous Victorian plant hunter. He collected plants across South America, Brazil, Argentina, Peru, Chile and Panama. He brought back lots of amazing plants. The most well known are the monkey puzzle tree, the giant redwood tree and the chitline firebush.
Fascinating, George. Thank you. Our next guest is author Tom Palmer. Tom has written lots of hugely successful fiction books, including the Football Academy series and Foul Play. Tom is also well known for writing historical fiction for children. He's just won a big prize for his last book called Armistice Runner. The book is about a girl called Lily who runs hill races, but she's fed up with coming in second place. Lily discovers the diaries of her great-great-grandfather from the First World War, and these inspire her. Thank you for joining us on the show, Tom.
Thank you for having me.
Tell us about your book, Armistice Runner. What inspired you to write it?
Well, Armistice Runner is about a girl who's a fell runner, so that's like a cross-country runner.
Okay.
Runs up and down hills, and she finds out that her great-great-granddad was a famous fell runner from 100 years ago who became a trench runner in the First World War,
yeah.
So like a communications runner. And it was inspired because I really liked fell running, but also my daughter was doing a lot of fell running, and I really thought there weren't any books about girls who are runners, and I thought,
yeah,
I really wanted to write a book about a girl running.
What sort of research did you do?
Good question. Well, I'd already spent, because it was a lot to do with girls running races, I'd spent a lot of time with my daughter on hillsides in all sorts of weather, so that sort of came naturally. But I had to do research into trench runners, who were the messengers in the First World War. So I went to the areas that they did their trench running in, but I went to museums in France. But particularly, the Imperial War Museum in London has a brilliant sort of database. You can get lots of interviews with people. I listened to lots of interviews with people who were involved in the First World War, and that really helped.
Like Lily, my great-great-grandfather was in the World War One. What can we learn from looking at the history of our grandparents and great-grandparents?
I think that's a really good question. I suppose we can, and particularly at the moment, we can see what they had to endure going through things like the First World War and the effect it had, obviously, on those on the front line, but also those back at home, and we can see how they coped with it and how they supported each other in communities. I think communities are coming together now in the lockdown, and I think communities came together in the First World War and the Second World War, and that I think hopefully comes across in in Armistice Runners as a community of runners who look after each other.
We are looking at writing family histories and our family trees during lockdown, chatting to our relatives via Zoom and WhatsApp. Have you got any advice on what questions to ask them about the past?
I think that's a really good question. I think I've been writing a book about some children who survived the Second World War and some children who lived in this country during the Second World War. And I think talking to them, the thing that really you can draw things out of older people, older family members, is remembering objects from the past, like things they might remember that they can't lay their hands on anymore, like what was chocolate like? Chocolate was a big thing for children in 1945. Or also remembering, they might remember like VE Day, which the anniversary is coming up to quite soon. They might remember what happened during that. At that time.
Where can listeners find out more about your books and hear you reading them?
If anyone's interested, they could go to my website, which is tompalmer.co.uk, and you can read all the first chapters of my book.
Okay.
And you can see me reading first chapters. And also, like, there's lots of games and activities on the website too.
So what was the award that you won for Armistice Runner?
The main one, I won the Children's Book Award, which is voted for by sort of up to 100,000 children.
Wow.
All voted for by children, which is, when you win a prize and it's voted for by children, it feels great because that's who you're writing the books for.
Congratulations and thank you for joining us on the Lockdown Podcast Show.
Thank you for having me on your show and good luck with it. It looks like you're doing wonderful, wonderful work.
Next up, Connor is playing Heroes of Roadblocks with us. Tell us about it, Connor.
So my friends actually showed it to me like a few days ago. We started playing it. It was quite fun. And it's, so what you have to do, the first mission is where there's a bank heist going on and you have to kill all the villains. And then once you've done that, you complete the mission, and then you can move on to the second one.
Have you got any advice for staying safe online?
But yeah, when you're making your account, don't put your real name in. And make your password something not like 12345 or something complex.
This week's show is all about family trees. Have you got any comments on family trees?
They're not trees.
Thanks for that, Connor. We've had some messages in about people's family trees. Henry's great-great-nan played with Charlie Chaplin when he was a boy.
We've got a good one here. We've got two people in the same class, in a year six class, who found out that they're related from a second cousin. So you never know, actually you could be sitting next to somebody in school that you're related to, Zoe. We've got Nate on line two to tell us about his royal connection, Zoe.
Hi, Nate.
Hello.
Can you tell us some stuff that you found out about your family tree?
Oh, yes I can. My great-granddad was the head printer of the Times newspaper and hosted both the Queen and Prince Philip and Princess Margaret on visits.
Okay.
We have the original photographs of these visits.
Ooh.
My granddad was a lettering artist and was commissioned by Spike Milligan to write out, in beautiful lettering, a poem as a wedding gift for Charles and Diana.
Oh, that's interesting.
And there is a bit more, which is, we've not yet researched further back than that, although my family on my nanny's side is rumoured to be connected to royalty.
Oh,
okay.
True.
Wow, I wonder if that's true.
So, do you want to make a family tree?
Yes, I do.
Well, Nate, there's details in our podcast information and a template too.
Thank you for joining us, Nate.
You're welcome.
Next up on the show, we have Izzy Clifton, who played Hetty Feather for the last 5 years. Hello, Izzy.
Hi, guys.
Where are you spending lockdown?
I'm just spending lockdown at my home with my family and my dog. So, yeah.
What kind of things have you been up to?
Been, you know, cleaning my room, still doing exercise, going for dog walks.
Nice. What are you looking forward to doing when lockdown ends?
The first thing would have to be seeing my friends and family who I'm not currently spending lockdown with. I miss them so much and I can't wait to see everyone again.
Anything else?
I think probably just going out for some good food, going for a meal. I really enjoy eating good food and just going out with my friends and having a good time.
When it's normal again, what things are you looking forward to doing?
I think definitely would be getting back to dancing and acting and training and going back to my stage school and just seeing everyone there again.
Tell us how you feel about this being the last series of Hetty Feather.
It's really, really sad. Obviously, we've been doing it for so long now. You know, we've done 6 series and it's been amazing. I've met so many amazing people along the way, had so many opportunities and learned so much about the industry itself. And I think that everyone in the cast can agree that I think series 6 really finished off the storyline of the programme really well. I felt like every character had their closure for their storyline and it was quite a happy and quite an uplifting ending. And I felt like Hetty herself had really grown up and she was ready to move on and become a writer and move into the career that she wanted to move into. So I thought it had a really lovely ending.
Yes, it did. You have been in one of the biggest shows on CBBC. How are you keeping in touch with your friends from the show during lockdown?
So all of us cast members have a group chat, which we talk in quite a lot. And obviously the last series of Hetty, series 6, came out on CBBC a couple of days ago. So we were seeing everybody's reactions to the show. Obviously, because it's the last series, we were just sort of talking about how everyone seemed so happy and they really enjoyed it. So that was good. But yeah, we're always talking on the group chat and staying in touch.
What shows have you been watching and would you suggest we watch?
I've been really enjoying watching Our Girl on BBC One. I love that programme so much. And the last episode was really, really emotional, but really, really good. And I actually watched the One World Together at Home concert with my mum. And it was so good. I think, yeah, Lady Gaga organised it. And it was lots of different singers singing loads of songs. It was just very uplifting and very positive. I really, really enjoyed that.
This week, we are looking at families and family trees. What do you know about your family tree?
Well, I know that my great-grandmother actually served in World War II and she was a part of the Women's Air Force, I think. So that's pretty interesting.
Yes, it is. What do you imagine your family was doing in the era Hetty Feather was set?
So that's the Victorian era. That is so long ago compared to now. I actually don't know. I mean, if they're anything like me, probably having numerous cups of tea because I'm actually a bit obsessed with tea. I have one every morning, every night. So, yeah, probably doing that. Maybe my family members and Hetty were friends. Who knows?
Thank you so much for joining us on the show, Izzy.
Thank you so much, guys, for having me on your podcast. Thank you very much.
Now we're going to cross over to Flo. She's going to tell us the best ice cream recipe. Hello, Flo.
Hi, Zoe and Vicky. I really love your podcast. You're doing great.
Thanks, Flo.
Here's how you make fruit ice cream. So you get 2 medium bananas and you chop them up. Then you put them into your blender or mixer. 150 grams of frozen mixed berries. Mm-hmm. And you put them into the blender or mixer. Then you get 2 tablespoons of peanut butter. Mm. Or if you don't want peanut butter, you can use chocolate spread.
Yeah.
Okay, so then put the lid on, make sure that you do that. And then you blend it until it's in a nice ice cream textured mixture. You put it into a container or a tub, put the lid on, put it in the freezer for about 4 to 5 hours, and when you get it out, check if it doesn't look ready. You can always put it in for a bit longer. When you're putting it out onto your bowl or into your cone, you should always put a bit of warm water on the spoon first, just to make sure that when you're, you know, scooping it out, it doesn't go rock solid. Okay. Anyway, I hope you enjoy the recipe if you make it.
Yes, we will.
So yeah, thank you very much. Bye.
Thanks, bye. If you want to get in touch with the show, you can contact us at Twitter at Lockdown Kids or email us on lockdownpodcastshow@gmail.com. There is no the. We hope you enjoyed the show. If you want to hear more, tune in next week where we have an amazing best-selling author. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button and leave a review. Goodbye.
Bye.